Brother Mike told me that the lapel mic was broken, so I'd have to use the pulpit mic. And no worries, because I don't move much anymore anyway. But it's a joy to be here. It really is. As you know, being in evangelism, don't always get to come to all the fellowships, but we come to the ones when we're home. And I'm a pretty big guy, but I'm not learned to be in two places at one time. But I'm thankful for this new year. I'm thankful for some new insight in our nation and God's mercy and grace. I just pray that the Christians in America won't get too comfortable. But I have to say this, I am thankful that certain people will not be upon the White House premises anymore. If that's political, then so be it. My take upon politics is this: who's going to take care of Israel?
Yeah, right.
Now you might think that's narrow. In my view, you may think that it's it is Bible. It's, I mean, I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. He's still in the Bible, and God didn't change that in the New Testament. One of the greatest books I've ever read, other than the Bible, is the book by a man by the name of McTiernan, John McTiernan, on As America Has Done to Israel. If you've never read that book, you need to get it and read it and get the 2012 edition, because that brings in the all the account of our last presidency. But this man proves documented evidence that every time the United States has done anything to harm Israel or try to give that land away, that something's happened to us tragically. Either the same day or the same day after or the same week. And you'd think people wake up after a while. But that's not what I want to preach tonight. I've kind of struggled. All of y'all can relax, but when he said I was going to be the one to print, my heart went to my throat. And so you just pray for me. I've been praying for Samuel Ellis. That breaks my heart. I know what cancer is, but I was 50 years old when they found cancer in me. This is a young boy, 9 years old. What I like to see happen is God just get rid of it. Amen. And the doctors be astounded and everybody have to give glory to God. Amen. And I know that can happen.
That's right.
And I'm praying toward that end. Amen. You pray how God leads you, but that's what I'm praying.
Amen.
I know what the Lord can do. One verse tonight, Psalm 40. I was hesitant about preaching this message tonight because there's some here that's had this problem, malady, including myself. And but I've got to obey the Lord tonight. And this is the first time I've preached this message, so I'm gonna try it out on you, see how it flies. Amen. And I know the Lord gave it to me, and I remember when He gave it to me, and I was struggling with some things myself. And I'm finding more pressure on God's people in these last days than I've ever seen in those 42 years that I've been saved. And so I want to deal with that tonight, and you be patient with me, if you will, and pray for me as I try to bring this message. In Psalm 40, verse 12, the Bible says, "For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I'm not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me."
Yeah.
Father, give us wisdom tonight as we look to your word. I pray you administer to everyone in this building. You know the spiritual condition of everyone, God, to hear this breathing air tonight. And I pray that your blessed will be done, God. And I believe with all my heart, God, you gave me this message. And I believe tonight is the night you want me to preach it. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, you take my stammering lips, my nervousness, God, and my inadequacy tonight, God. And I pray that you might be magnified and that your word might be glorified tonight in what I preach. And I'll thank you and praise you for what you do. In the blessed name of Jesus Christ tonight, we give thee praise. You've heard the prayers of your saints tonight, especially an intercessory prayer, God, for our young brother, God, tonight, Samuel. I pray, God, you touch his body, that the world might know and the medical profession might see, God, that you're still on the throne. And we'll thank you. comfort that mother and father and that grandmother and that grandfather tonight and get glory from all you do. Thank you for the singing tonight, God, and the message that was contained therein. Bless this great church, this pastor, and these people in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I want to preach tonight simply on heart failure. Now, my dad passed away at the age of 57 with heart failure. Awful young to be taken out of this world. And I know Brother Wayne has had trouble with it. I've had trouble with mine. And, you know, you don't think much about this ticker in here. You know, you just live every day and your heart beats thousands of times a day and you never think about it till it goes wrong.
Right.
And mine has a tendency to get out of rhythm sometime, and they've done some procedures to keep that from happening, but every once in a while it'll get out for a short while and that makes you feel sick all over. Brother Wayne has had problems with his heart, but you think about how God put that organ in there and how the heart is used in an analogy in the Bible as the innermost part of man.
Yeah.
And where man's desires are,
okay,
they come from the heart.
Amen.
Yeah.
The heart's a wonderful instrument. Think about it. Even scientists have said that your body is crafted and made to last forever.
Uh-huh. Yep.
But the blood's no good.
Yeah, right.
And they'll catch up with the Bible every several thousand years.
Right.
The life of the flesh is in the blood. If the blood's no good, amen, that's why we die.
Yeah.
And when God created Adam and Eve, He created them to live forever. And of course, they made the decision to thwart that, and thank God we're having to deal with it now.
Amen.
Tonight.
Amen.
But I want you to notice several things. Heart failure is a serious malady that affects thousands of people all over the United States and the world, and results in many deaths. And only God knows how many deaths occur because of heart failure. But tonight I'm not talking about physical heart failure. I'm talking about spiritual heart failure. One of the signs of the last days, and we see it now, it'll be a sign of the tribulation period, and it'll be a curse in the tribulation period, that the Bible said that man's heart will be failing him for fear. Fear is a terrible thing unless it's fear of God.
That's right.
I heard a preacher say one time that worry is a mild form of atheism. And I had to repent right then. Because my ancestry are worriers. And I worry when I don't have anything to worry about. And if I don't have anything to worry about, I worry about that. Amen. And I'm not proud of that because it shows in me a lack of faith in God. The Bible said to be careful for nothing. I'm afraid to admit to you tonight, folks, that I sometimes I'm full of care. And one of my favorite verses is Psalm 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. But God said, 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I find that not being afraid is connected with having a sound mind. And so I want to preach a very short message tonight on spiritual heart failure. Now go back to our text. We'll be in Psalm 40 here in this verse here and several of verses connected with it. But I want you to notice tonight spiritual heart failure. The Bible said, number one, that innumerable evils have compassed me about.
Amen.
And when I was young, the things that would come and they would just come and go and you take them in stride. But I read over in Ecclesiastes 12 and said, even the grasshopper will weary you. Small things in this day in which we live, the older you get, small things you worry about. Small things. Things you used to didn't worry about at all. Things you used to didn't bother you at all. They bother you now, even though you're mature in the Lord and further down the road than you ever were. Amen. You've never been older than you are tonight. But if God doesn't come soon, we're going to be a whole lot older. And let me tell you, things that didn't used to bother you or trouble you, they torment you now sometimes.
Amen, bro.
And you wonder why people are on drugs. I just heard about this week about another person I know very well that's gotten off on drugs and lost everything they had. Lost their house, lost their family, lost their wife, lost their children, lost their business, lost their equipment, lost everything because they lay it up on drugs. I'm sure that don't go on down here in Hamlet, but it does up in Kannapolis. And I can name you several right now tonight that have squelched thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of equipment and homes and possessions up their nose, in their veins, drugs. Why? Men's heart for failing them for fear even now, and we're not even in the tribulation. If you're saved, you're not going to be there. I hope there's nobody here lost tonight. I mean, if you're lost, I can tell you where to head in.
That's right.
But if you think you're tough enough to make it through the tribulation, I got news for you. You're not going to. If you won't trust Christ in the conditions we're in right now, you sure won't trust Him during the tribulation when they say you can't buy or sell or eat. I'm not that tough, thank God. I got saved when I was 18. Amen. Thank God. But I want you to notice innumerable evils have compared. That means you can't number them. You can't number them. It seems like when one thing gets down, that something else comes up. Now, I know we've got more communication skills today than we've ever had before. I mean, you can't hide anymore. If you do something wrong, everybody not in the country, everybody in the world can know about it. Matter of seconds. You know what happens in this church ought to stay in this church? I hope you're not one of them that puts the church's business all over the internet and all over Facebook. I got to throw this in while I'm throwing. Amen. Zuckerberg, the man that invented Facebook, you know he's worth $51 billion. The man is the richest Jew in the world. He's got a dog named the Beast. And he is, I mean, he's all for all the liberal agenda. He rode in the float out in the gay pride parade out in San Francisco. I mean, and Christians have made him rich. $51 billion. If I had that much money, I would pay my bills as long as it would stretch. Amen. But folks, innumerable, sometimes, the trouble and sorrow is not our doing. Look at your Bible in Psalm 116. We'll be in the Bible now for a very short while tonight, and I'll let you go. But in Psalm 116, notice this. And I had no idea when I came here I was going to preach. I was ready, but I had no idea. Brother Mike's good about that, amen. But notice this. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplication. Because He hath inclined His ear unto me, therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. You know, you don't have to go out looking for trouble and sorrow. It'll find you. Exactly right. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. Aren't you glad of that? It's His mercies we're not consumed. Folks, tonight let me tell you something. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, I'd be dead. I'd be dead. Sometimes. Look at 2 Corinthians. You say, prove that. That's David. What about the New Testament? Okay. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. I think sometimes people throw the Bible out. Folks, listen, I'm a strong dispensationalist. I believe in rightly dividing the word of truth. But I tell you what, when God gives you a promise and it's not unscriptural, you better hang with it. Exactly right. And I know some of these guys that are so dispensational, they say only Paul's words matter, amen. Hey, Paul said, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said the words of Jesus Christ are wholesome words. And I'm going to believe that. And you're not going to find a stronger dispensationalist than me. I believe in rightly dividing the word of truth, and I know wherein I stand, amen. I don't apologize for it. But notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8. What about the Apostle Paul? Paul gets on my nerves. I'm going to be serious about it. It's hard for me to identify with the Apostle Paul. He never complains. I complain all the time. 2 Corinthians 1:8, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Amen. That's it. I mean, all Paul was doing is obeying the will of God. Amen. All he was doing is just doing what God called him to do and what God told him to do. And he did that very thing. And he said at the end, he said, I finished my course. God set a course for him. But listen, trouble came. Trouble came. Greatest Christian in the New Testament. I get so weary of some of these people talking about this prosperity gospel and that if you get saved, you're going to be a millionaire. I trust they haven't read about the life of Paul. He died in prison. He died with the books and the parchments and the cloak that he left at Troas. No, they don't want to follow Paul. They want to follow Abraham. Exactly. Or Jacob. And how did Jacob get mostly what he got? Exactly right. It's not right in our country to give the younger before the older. He'd come back on him. Paul was fulfilling his call. Number two, I want you to notice this. Go back to our text. We could spend more time there, but I don't want to take too much time tonight. I don't want to overcharge my checking account. Notice there in Psalm 40, notice this. Number two, he said, mine iniquities have taken hold upon me. See that? Sometimes it comes upon us and we're innocent.
That's right.
But it comes upon us to develop and build character. Oftentimes I say, Lord, could you not build character on this particular point in some other way besides this?
Amen.
But look at Psalm 101. Sometimes the trouble and sorrow is not our doing. We're not the author of it. We're not the cause of it, but sometimes it is. Look at this. Psalm 101 verse 3, the Bible said, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. We expect to set something wicked and filthy before our eyes and expect not to dream about it at night.
Amen. That's right.
Well, think it's not going to come back on us when we're trying to be spiritual and we're down on our knees praying. And the Lord says, what about that you looked at? I didn't write this. But I'm guilty of it.
Amen.
I'm not standing up here putting my thumbs in my lapels and tell you Mitch Knupp has arrived. You know I was lying. And all you'd have to do is ask my wife. She'd tell you. But I'm trying by the grace of God not to put anything before my eyes that will plague me and cause me not to be able to tell a sinner about Jesus Christ and the way to heaven without feeling guilty that I'm a stinking hypocrite. And I have. Satan never tell you, but what about? But what about? I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Folks, when he's talking about knowing, that's an intimate fellowship.
Yeah, that's right.
Young people, you can't hang around with the people in this world. You witness to them. You can be kind to them. I mean, you can treat them civilly, but you can't hang around them day by day by day by day and expect not to be affected by it. You can't wallow in a cold pile with a white suit and come out unscathed. And you have a robe of righteousness that's given to you by Jesus Christ when you got saved. Amen, folks. And it can't affect your salvation, but it sure will affect our walk. And I said our walk. Because I'm not pointing my finger at you and not pointing back at me.
That's right.
I know what I'm supposed to do. I know who I'm supposed to fellowship with. I know what I'm supposed to think. I know what I'm supposed to say. I know how I'm supposed to live. I just don't always do it.
Amen.
Amen.
because I got wicked flesh just like you.
Amen.
I got 230 pounds of flesh up here. Amen.
Yeah.
And it gives me a lot of problems. And I got a nature that's not saved. And I got a nature that hates God.
Yes.
Thank God I got a nature that loves the Lord. Amen. Sometimes it is our doing. So, folks, listen tonight. My message is don't set any wicked thing before your eyes. Let me tell you something, young people. I remember to this day, I'll be 62 years old in September if I live. And I know I look a lot older than that, but I'll be 62. I can remember things I saw when I was 10.
Yeah.
And they're just as vivid. This is vivid. I'm here to tell you what you put before your eyes, you will not get rid of.
Amen.
Yeah. And I don't have to draw you a picture. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Whether it's filthy movies.
Come on.
You think you can watch that stuff and it not affect you? Oh, no. Oh, no. And just about all of them are filthy now. But the Lord didn't specify. He said, I'll set no wicked thing before my eyes. Amen. Now you figure out what I'm talking about. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians 6, and notice this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, a passage of Scripture that always gets me under conviction, and thank God it does. You know how I know the Bible's the Word of God? Because it deals with me spiritually every time I read it.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not equally yoked together with unbelievers.
Right.
For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath a light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?
Amen.
And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. Folks, listen to me. You are the house of God tonight. You are the place that God dwells if you're saved. Amen.
Yeah.
And if God's not dwelling in you, you're not saved.
Yeah.
Amen.
You said, I don't feel him. You're not supposed to feel him. Amen.
Yeah.
But look at this. And you will feel him. Sometime, but not all the time. And if you're living on feelings, you're living on the wrong thing. This thing's by faith. Now notice, the Bible said, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you. Ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, if that was stopped right there, that'd be enough, amen? But look at that next verse.
Yeah.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. I've come to church on many occasions just as clean as a pin. Had me a good bath. I mean, even put a little cologne on and everything, and my spirit stunk to high end. My attitude would have charred the walls of hell. Amen. That's filthiness of the spirit. That's not God's spirit. That's your spirit. And mine. Notice. And God said we can cleanse ourselves. How do we do that? With the washing of the water by the Word. Jesus Christ told His disciples, ye are clean through the Word. Through the Word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy Word. Psalm 119 verse 9. You know something? That'll work for you. Young lady, too. It'll even work with those old codgers. That's it. I ain't as young as I used to be. I no spring chicken anymore, that's for sure. But amen, folks, listen, it's this book. That's why I am dogmatic, bulldogmatic about this Bible, because these modern versions won't clean you. They won't clean you. They might wipe off a little dirt, but the only thing that's going to clean you on the inside is this book. So yes, even though it's not popular, like all you other men of God, I'll take a stand for this book. I'd rather for God to be pleased with me and when I stand before Him than for men to be pleased with me down here. Exactly right. Amen. God said, don't touch them And don't let them touch us.
Yeah.
Now that's not talking about separating yourself like some monk or some hermit. It's talking about participating in what this world's doing.
Right. Yeah.
Missionary many years ago to Japan, he said, the duty of every Christian in every age is to find out the direction that the world is going where he resides and walk the exact opposite way. That's not popular. But we're not trying to be popular. It won't make you popular, but it will make you right. And that's more important. Number three, I want you to notice. Go back to our text now, Psalm 40. What's the problem with this malady? What's the problem, he says here? In Psalm 40, he said, for innumerable evils have compassed me about, my iniquity has taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. Because if you're not right with God, I know by experience you're not going to look up. You're going to look down. Only problem, God told us to look up. He told Israel, he said, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved, for I am God.
Amen.
Isaiah 45:22. Notice this. Notice in Psalm 5. Notice this. You know, I can usually tell what a person believes about the Bible by what they believe about the book of Psalms.
Yeah.
A lot of folks think that's just poetry.
Yeah.
That's why these modern versions will put it in poetic verse to make it look like poetry, because they know most men that are real men won't read poetry. And we live in an age, folks, listen, we're just eat up with effeminate men. I don't want to get started there. But look in Psalm 5:1 to the chief musician upon Nehelof, the Psalm of David. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King, my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. That's what God said. But sometimes the head is bowed down because of the weight of sin.
Amen.
The heart is grieved because of our yielding to temptation. And you feel guilty.
That's right.
That's a good sign you're saved.
Amen.
We're not talking about the conscience now. We're talking about the heart of the saved individual. Number three, the mind is tormented because of the guilt of disobedience. When you and I disobey God as a saved man or woman, boy or girl, when we disobey God, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to look up. We're going to look down. God wants us to look up.
Amen.
And look up to Him. Amen. And give Him praise and glory. Number four, and I'm done. Go back to our text and look in Psalm 40. Oh God, I hope this has helped you tonight, folks. Heart failure. In this case, spiritual heart failure. Notice this. So that I'm not able to look up, there are more than the hairs of mine head. Now, the average head has about 120,000 hairs. Don't look at me and laugh. Mine used to. But it don't now. 120,000 hair. That's a lot of hair.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if your iniquities are as the hairs of his head here, that's 329 sins per day per year. That's a lot of sin.
Yep.
Amen. That's a lot of sin. I mean, folks, that's the inevitable result of what we find here above, the fact that sin will bow the head down and we cannot look up to God like we're supposed to.
Right.
And God wants us to look up. You say, why? Because that's my heavenly Father. We look up to the heavens. God doesn't want us to go around looking like we got the weight of the world on our shoulders all the time and trying to witness to sinners, and a sinner looks at you and says, I don't need what you got. You look worse than I do. And I've been guilty of that too. Amen. Folks, you can't let the world see the things that bow you down.
Yeah. Amen.
Lady gave me a song when I was battling with cancer, and I may have said this here before, but it was called "I Will Trust You, Lord." It was by the McCameys, and I never heard much of the song by the McCameys, but this song really spoke to me because she said, "When the time comes when I have to show the world what I really believe."
Yeah.
Oh, I talk.
Yes.
I preach.
Yeah.
I witness. But what about the time that the world wants to see what I really believe? And things bow me down, trouble bows me down. Then what do I do?
Yeah,
ain't so easy then, is it?
Amen, brother.
I mean, folks, it's real easy to live for God when everything's going great. But when troubles start compiling themselves upon you and start bowing you down, and the world says, "We'll see what they do now."
Yeah.
We'll see how much faith they've got now. We'll see if they've got anything real now. They've been walking around here whistling a tune and everything. Everything's going great. Money in the billfold. Kids are all well. Job's going good. Hey, man, church going great. But what about when all that stuff goes sour? Then what are we going to do? That song says, the time comes that when my feet don't want to stay, I will trust you, Lord. And I remember years ago watching Little Rascals, and I forget what they, one of them got scared in a spook house, and the camera showed his feet turning around like this, going the other way. I never will forget that. And folks, there's been times that I wanted to turn and run. I wanted to turn and run. And there's times when I have backed down and have backed off and have kept my mouth shut because I knew I wasn't right and I knew my heart wasn't right. And I knew that the devil would make sure that somebody pointed their finger in my face and said, "You sorry hypocrite, you're not living for God." I knew that. Now, folks, in conclusion tonight, and we could go a lot longer than this, but what's the cure for spiritual heart failure? Look at the next verse. He said, "Therefore my heart faileth me." That's the result of all these things there in that 12th verse. But look at verse 13. "Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me." That's where our help's at. And I don't know about you, but I got help being here tonight. And bringing around the brothers and sisters. And some of the worst things you can do when you're discouraged and you're down and you're sad is be by yourself. And let Satan talk to you. Let Satan talk to you. Now, when you're with the Lord, that's a different story.
Amen.
But you get in a fellowship and you realize that we're all fellows in the same ship.
Yeah.
The devil will single you out and try to make you think you're the only one that's got trouble. Well, you know, I had cancer, but I didn't have inoperable cancer in my lung like that little 9-year-old boy had. And all of us has got troubles, but there's always somebody that's got worse troubles than we. Hey, you're saved, aren't you? What if you had all these troubles and you weren't saved? And you had to depend upon alcohol and drugs to keep you going? That's something we need to think. Be pleased, O Lord. Look at Psalm 73, and I'm done. Psalm 73. What about it, Brother Mitch? Where's the answer? Folks, every time that I've had trouble in my life, I realize more and more that this Bible is more than just getting up and quoting a bunch of facts.
Amen.
When you get down to it, it's the Scripture. The Scripture.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit of God will use the Scripture to minister you and comfort you and speak to your heart.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's
good preaching.
Psalm 73. Look at it. Verse 25. "Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee."
Yeah.
We're earthly people, but our help's in the Lord.
Yep.
"My flesh and my heart faileth, but thank God for that disjunctive conjunction."
Yeah. Amen.
"But thank God is the strength of my heart."
Yeah.
my portion forever. Charles Wesley wrote, Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly. What happens to me when my heart fails? What happens to me when my heart is desperately wicked? And who can know it? I can fly to His bosom. Like John did, leaning upon the breast of Jesus Christ. And do you realize when John was leaning upon the chest of Jesus Christ, he was 2 inches from all the life in the universe. And every time that heartbeat of Jesus Christ, John knew that was God. That was God. That was the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Every time that heart, boom, 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 John said, that's God. That's my God. And I'm John the Beloved. And Jesus, this man, loves me. When Satan tries to tell you you're not loved, you call him a bold-faced liar, and you tell him the God that created this universe and hung this world on nothing loves you. So when your heart fails, call upon Him whose heart has never failed. Amen, brother Mike. Good job, brother.